So, you know, I preached this thing. I think I poured out virtually of my life yesterday. It was like, so I was wondering, I said, what is there remaining? But the Lord will strengthen me. Amen. So the Lord will strengthen me so that at least I'll be able to go through this one this morning. Yesterday, believe in me, it was like I was drained. I was so charged. It was like I was drained out. And I went to bed. Thank God I woke up, I think about 4 or 5. And then I've been praying, and the Lord will help me to go through this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we talked about the Holy Spirit and His work. And we began to say that in this year, as we get into this year, we should know the things that we shouldn't really be involved in. Things that have no value to us, that would be total waste of time. The Bible tells us very clearly that the flesh profits what? Nothing. So there won't be any use our getting involved and getting our flesh engaged in the things that we do. And to tell you the truth about it, the only important thing in life, the thing that really has real value, is what God does. The thing that has most effect in life, that has most value in life, that will last in life, that will be very important in life, is only what God has done. The things that are done by the hands of men, they will last for a while. They have their glory though, but it doesn't last. It's limited. It's not eternal. And so there won't be any wisdom in engaging your life in the things that do not last. It's important that we know this, that except the Lord builds the house, they labor what? In vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walk wicked, but in vain. Our Lord Jesus said to us that it is only the Spirit that gives life, that brings things into existence, makes things work out. It's only the Spirit. And the Lord said, it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my what? By my Spirit. But we forget that. In the busyness of life, we forget all of that. And get engaged in things. Once we crunch our numbers, we are ready to go. We get involved in things. We don't even bother so much to find out, Lord, is this what you're really in? Like our sister was saying. But the emphasis of the New Testament church is on two things. I started to say like the other Sunday that we are not majoring on what the Holy Spirit is majoring on. And we are paying the price. We are being blessed, but we are not fully being blessed. We should walk. Jesus said, look, this thing is for you to have fullness of joy. Which means we should have all the fullness of divine blessing walking our lives. And when we talk of divine blessing, I'm not just talking of dollar. It's more than dollar. It's walking under the full influence of the Spirit of God. It's more than dollar. So the emphasis of the New Testament is on two things. Number one is focused on Jesus Christ. It's focused on Jesus Christ. I can't say this enough. It's focused on Jesus Christ. The church was told to look unto Him, to focus on Him. The early church said we preach Christ. Read your Bible, read the entire Bible. From Paul to all of them, you are focusing their teachings on Christ Jesus. Paul said, I don't want to know anything if I come to you except Christ and Him what? Crucified. That's the focus. Because if you remove Christ, we can do nothing. And then the focus is on Him as our example, on Him as to the work He accomplished for us. Don't sleep on me. Hey, they don't do that when I preach. If you sleep, I put you behind. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's focused on Jesus Christ and the work He accomplished for us. The work He accomplished on the cross by His life, his burial, and I want you to watch what I'm saying now, his resurrection, and it's not done, and his ascension to what? To heaven. All of them play a role in our life today. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Bible says we will remain what? His resurrection is part of the deal. And if he didn't go to heaven with his blood, the Bible says the redemption will not be obtained. He entered into heaven with his blood. Mary came to touch him. He said, "Don't touch me, I'm not done. I'm not ascended. Don't touch me. This job is not done." And when he entered with his blood, the Bible told us what happened. It was when he entered and the redemption was granted that God said to him, "You cannot sit at my right hand. You are done." When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he was not referring to the work of salvation finished. He was referring to the end of the Old Testament priesthood. Because that was when this curtain in the temple was what? Ripped. That was the end of their priesthood. They killed him. They didn't know they lost their job. Because God was instituting a new order. God was bringing an end the Old Testament. The law of Moses and all that thing was coming to an end. He was snuffing it out. A new priest was coming in who is not even from the order of, coming from Judah. Jesus said, "It is finished. Your job is done. From high priest to low priest, you lost your job." But the work of salvation was not finished. Because if he didn't rise, we'll still be in our sins. So he had to rise. He had to go to the Father. And when he was finished, the Father now pronounced the work done. He said, "You cannot sit. You are done." Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So all that work that Jesus did, and you know, the church sometimes stops at the cross. And because we stop at the cross, we do not understand that the priesthood of Jesus is so critical for the church to know. And we don't teach it. And because we don't know the priesthood of Jesus, we don't understand our entrance into the presence of God is because of that priesthood. The Bible says we come boldly because we have a high priest. It's because. The because means it's because of him. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. You come boldly. We have a high priest. And then the second thing that the New Testament was focusing upon was the work of the Holy Spirit that he came to accomplish. You must understand that at the time of Moses, Jesus wasn't there in the form he was in the New Testament. When the Bible talks of the law, it's talking about the age when Jesus wasn't functioning in the way he was functioning in the New Testament. All of that age behind, everybody there from the prophets and who they are, they don't match the list in the kingdom of God. They don't come up at all. So the second thing that he came to do is to reveal, the emphasis of the New Testament is on the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember, church? Do I have to preach this too much? Do you remember that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important to the first church, to the early church, that every single time there were new believers, the next thing you hear them do is to send people to them so that they will be baptized, what? In the Holy Spirit. It was so critical. They understood what that meant. They knew the empowerment of the Holy Spirit was indispensable to the believer. They were not losing it in religious setup, in all this red tapism that church has put in place. If you don't do this and do this, you won't go for baptism. What about you? Stop all that, friends. Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be told to receive the Holy Spirit. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The church, every time, read the Bible, every time they had new believers, they will send people to them to go and make sure that they are baptized, what? So one of the things that the ministry of the Holy Spirit you can find in the New Testament is under four headings. You can have five headings or six, but four. One of them is empowerment. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Empowerment for the church. So they were witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just talking. Not just talking. We are witnesses also to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and gift of the Holy Spirit and signs and wonders. It's all part of the package. I was asking, I think last Sunday, I said, how can, do we think that church is come, sit down, hear someone, go home? No, God lives in us. So the neighborhood must know that God lives what? In the neighborhood. And I said, how can God live in the neighborhood? Nobody knows. If Obama lives in your neighborhood, shouldn't people know? How can God live in the neighborhood? In the neighborhood. And nobody knows. And with the light he set up there, that people pass and say, wow, I see something here. Wow, I've never seen this before. So the Holy Spirit came to empower us so that we can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And then again, he came to reveal Jesus Christ to people so that they can believe in him. There is nobody who can reveal Christ to you. No human being can do that. The revelation of Jesus Christ is done by the Spirit of God. When Peter identified him, Jesus said, you know, flesh and blood did not what? Did not reveal this to you. It was my Father in heaven that did it. I don't care how a pastor preaches and you teach this word. The final thing is that except the Lord opens your eyes, you will not understand. The teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, there is a public teaching ministry like we do teach the word. Then there is the private personal teaching ministry, which he does in your heart. Which he does in your heart. So only him can reveal Christ to people. Only him. Only him. You know when the Jews were making noise, when Jesus was preaching and telling them, I am, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have what? No life. They got up. They said, who is this man? This is witchcraft. How can we drink his blood and eat his flesh? He said to them, stop bothering. You can't come. He said, my Father draws you. This is not biology. I'm not talking words of human wisdom. It's beyond you. He said, except my Father teaches you this, you won't get it. He says, stop. But it's the same thing with church. Any pastor who is doing a program to bring people to church, leave that church. It's not a pastor. You don't bring nothing. Part of your assignment is not to bring people. Your assignment is teach the word. It's God that adds to the church, such as our what? Say, if he gives you 12, praise the Lord. Gives you another 200, rejoice with them. Jesus said, Father, those you gave me, you gave them to me. So only the Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus to us. And then he came not only to reveal Jesus to the world so that they can believe, he came to make real the works of the cross. All these things that God, Jesus, achieved on the cross, he came to make it real in our lives, including healing, salvation, all these things that Jesus Christ achieved for us on the cross. The Holy Spirit came to manifest them, to bring them into reality in the life of those who believe it, in the life of only those who believe it. Then he came to be our guide. He came to guide us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He came to guide us. He came to guide us in our daily life. And of all these four things, I can only take two for now. And by the grace of God, as the Lord leads me, I'll be able to expand on some of them much, much as the dates go on. But just for this purpose, two will be enough. And the first one is the guidance that is so crucial in our lives. And that's where we must understand that except the Lord builds, except the Lord guides, except the Lord directs, whatever a man is doing is wasting time. You can build. I didn't say you can't build. But God of heaven says you are building in vain. Period. And this is where we have issues in the body of Christ. We do a lot of stuff on presumption. We don't know the difference between faith and presumption. We presume. And at the end of the day, it blows back. You had this young girl. He said, I don't do anything except what he directs me. And because he directs me, you could see how the result is going. He said, I don't do too many applications. I don't have time for that. Because the steps of a good man, it's not about the Lord. So why are you doing the same thing the world is doing? The world is sending 200 applications. No, you should know the mind of the Lord. You should know where God is leading you. And once you go there, that's where the door has been opened. We live a very ordered life, life with no stress at all. And so that's where our trouble came from. Because once it is right in our eyes, then we tell people that's what God said. We even use God to this. God have mercy. We say that's what God said. God told me. We use God to support our mind, but we pay the price at the end of the day. You know, the Bible says there are things that are right in the eyes of what, but the end thereof. And I was saying last night. So what is the wisdom in following those things that end is the end of destruction? Isn't it better for us to follow him who knows the end from the beginning? Who says, I know the plan I have for you. Is to give you your expected end. Is the end. Brethren, is the end we're talking about. The beginning can be awesome, but the end. Praise the Lord. You know, the first time Paul Young Cho wanted to commit suicide was because of this thing. But then, I'm telling the truth. This is why a lot of Christians run into trouble. Because they let their mind deceive them. The other Sunday, I was talking about the obedience of the Pharisees and the obedience of Jesus. They're not the same thing. The heart of man is very wicked, desperately wicked, and very deceitful. And if you let it, it will deceive you. The first person in your heart wants to deceive is you. And the Bible told us to run away from that heart as far as possible. He said, lean not unto your own. What does it mean? American English. Run. Run from the man. He said, don't lean on it. Don't trust it. He said, don't be wise in your own eyes. In all your ways, not some. In all your ways, church. In all your ways, do what? To acknowledge God is not a casual thing. It's not a casual thing. It's not a casual thing. I'll be teaching on what Jesus taught on prayer. Our attitude to prayer. If we don't have the right attitude, we draw blank. It's not a casual thing. It must be important to you that you want God to show you exactly what his mind is. And God said, I don't give my peers to pigs. If you don't value it, you won't get it. You got to value it and show me you really want me to show you. You really want me to show you? Then God will show you. So Young Cho started to build a big church. And then he ran into a financial problem. He ran out of money. He was owing the banks and they were going to arrest him, put him in jail. So he decided that before that, he would better kill himself. Because that would be news all over Korea. That the biggest pastor in Korea is now in jail. So he climbed to, I don't know whether it's seventh floor or one of the floors of the building, and was going to jump from the window. This is his story. He had climbed the window to drop. And the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you doing? He said, Lord, I don't want shame. If you know the culture of that place, shame is a huge thing. It goes all the way to Middle East. Honor issues. So I don't want shame. I better die. And the Lord said, you know why you're in this trouble? He said, no. He said, because you are directing yourself. And I warned you that the flesh will profit you what? So now the thing has profited you and you're frustrated. I'm not involved. Didn't consult me. You're not asking me. I'm not directing it. And since you know too much and you're wise in your own eyes, now you have directed yourself to a dead end. The way that seemeth right? But the end thereof, so the date has come. Now the man was even going to kill himself. And the Lord said to him, this thing you are doing, who instructed you? All this church thing, this thing, this. Who told you? He said, I want you to get back and go back and let me show you what I want you to do. And the moment the man got back, listen to this story, all that loan was paid off. And he was able now to build one of the biggest churches in the world following divine instruction. Because God said to Moses, be careful to build this thing the way I have what? Show you. Brethren, I'm telling you how we wreck ourselves. Haven't you seen things that, tell me one thing men have built that have lasted. Is it government? They built powers. Roman Empire. You can go back to history. You can go back to history. I know that the word of God is here and amen. You can go back to history. Powerful armies have been built. Hannibal. I hope my wife knows what Hannibal is. Hannibal. And then all the generals. Where are they? All the powerful kingdoms crumbled. There's one kingdom that they stay on. The kingdom of God. Can we learn from this thing? Politicians have built names, built glory. The first millionaire in Nigeria, Mojoko Dumi, you don't even know him anymore. The first finance minister of Nigeria used to walk with, his trail was from here to there. Kotebo. Where is the glory? Where is all that? And we still are building like them? Glorying in the arm of flesh? We are still doing these things? Where's the wisdom in it? Where's the wisdom in it? I was telling somebody, I said, in this course you are doing in university, who told you? How did you come about it? It's all this seeking glory of men. Once you crunch your numbers, this will give me money. You dive, poor. I didn't do the one scripture that says pursue money. I didn't see one. He said, don't be unwise. Find what the will of God is. Because that's what God is doing. It might be little in your eyes. It might look foolish. And it always looks foolish. But watch that thing. God says, I will use the foolishness to confound the wise now. The things you call nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen. They called me names. They said I was foolish. They said I was stupid. They said I've missed it. If I have entered bush. You know, when Igbo say you have entered bush, it means you are not only foolish, but you are crazy. They felt I was stupid. He said, how can he? He said he finished pharmacy school. They are making money. They are making money. Man, you know when I finished pharmacy school, pharmacy was hot cake. They give you a car. The companies will give you a car. Come and sign. My foolish. My people called me. I said, let's give you money. I said, I don't want your money. They now looked at me as real foolish. Now they went and said, this Bible has entered, he said. So they decided to take my children from me. They said he would never be able to train them. He's so poor, this pastor. Look at that. Yeah. I'm not sure they will say that again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They will say that again. I'm not a millionaire, but the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. Praise the Lord. So Jesus modeled this for us. That's how he lived his life. That's how he lived. I'm begging you, take time and seek the Lord about everything you want to do. You are not smart enough to handle the complexities of life. You can't handle the thing when it comes. You just cannot. Accept that you, without the Lord, you can do. Accept it for God's sake and be humble. And say to the Lord, unless you undertake, I cannot. Before we did Covenant Church, I prayed, asked my wife, I prayed and prayed and prayed. God will let me sleep. I wake up and pray. I told people, I said, I pray in the night, but not the way you pray. I pray when it's necessary, when God inspires me. It's not a program for me. I prayed and prayed. I woke up and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed some more until I knew it was God's will. And our leaders came in this room, Obika will tell you, right here. They said, Pastor, this is the will of God for you. And they prayed. They were opposed to it. They didn't want it. But God circumvented them and used leaders higher than them and said, do it for Chine, do all of you. So when they stepped in there, they said, Pastor, wow, this is really the will of God. And they prayed, Obika will tell you. They said, it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit that you will do this. And I said, amen. Then I came to you. And I said, do we do that? And you said, yeah. I started singing. It is the Lord's. You think I'm bothered about the process? No. Because since it is him, he will take it to where he's taking it. That's how you enter his rest. You don't, how do you get 2.2 million? We had banks calling us and begging us to come and take money. Begging. But we didn't answer them. Bank of America, go and tell them. I said, I'm not answering them. Because the Lord is the one. Praise the Lord, church. So this is how Jesus lived his life. Am I communicating anything at all? John 5:16. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. Okay, Lord. Okay. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so I am. 18. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. 19. Is where I'm headed. So Jesus explained to them how he does his things. He said, you can't persecute me now for what I'm doing, because see the way I live my life. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing what? He does only, brethren, look at that, only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son, that's how I live my life. So you can't persecute me for what I'm saying. It was my Father that told it. I had it from him. Look at John 14:10. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father? And the Father is in me? The words I speak are not mine. But my Father who lives in me does his work to me. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at this one more example, and I'll move on to the second one, because the Lord said to me, this is healing service too. Amen? Look at Lazarus. Now, a certain man named Lazarus, this is John chapter 11 from verse 1, not 14, John 11. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany. How do you pronounce that? Is it Bethany or Bethany? I think some of you are from Ekwulobia, so it will be evident here. And a certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Verse 2. This Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was now sick. Now we're at the level of being sick, okay? So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is what? Sick. Why did you think the adjective was added? So you can come. This is not just a regular person. This is the man you love so well. Okay, so when they said that, verse 4. When Jesus received the message, he said, this sickness is not to the end in death, so it's not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through and by it. Now, if you were there, what would you expect Jesus to do? Go immediately. Number one, that's the person you love. The family is your family friend. And number two, since it's for the glory of God, let's just go and pray so that the man will be healed. That would look reasonable and normal. Nothing wrong with that. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. I only watch my Father. What he does, what he do. If he moves, I move. I'm going nowhere until I know that he's moving. For I'm to be late. I'm to be late. I'm to be late. I'm to be what? Late. Now, what is the next verse? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So they were family friends. I mean, can you imagine you calling pastor and saying, pastor, I'm in hospital. I haven't come for 2 days. You know what they are going to say? Eh? The man doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. The Lord might tell him, don't go there. He's an adult. He should be able to be matured. There's a baby Christian you should go and see. Leave him there. Yeah. The Lord can say that. He said, don't go. By now, you should have known how to stand. Go and visit the new one, the baby Christian that just started coming. I want you to go and see and get him established. And I won't tell you at all. Because if you didn't tell me to tell you, I'm not going to tell you anything. If you start telling people everything God tells you, he stops telling you things. You only tell people what he tells you to tell, and you stop them. You don't gossip on God. There are conversations he holds with you to help you in your job, and he's not wanting you to tell anybody at all. So now, these are family, verse 4. When Jesus received, verse 4, is that what we are? Now, when Jesus received the message, he said, verse 5, please. Verse 5. Now, these are family friends, right? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were his dear friends. Not just friends, so. And he held them in loving esteem. Verse 6. Therefore, even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed, how long? 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Didn't move at all. It's not cultural. It doesn't make sense. Nothing. I mean, this is a family you hang out with. Did you know when they told Jesus that John the Baptist was in jail, he took himself further away? He didn't even go to visit him. I said, bros. You know they were cousins. Say, brush me. I'm sorry. The Lord will strengthen you here, okay? I know you are suffering this for the name of the Lord. Let me pray for you. He didn't do that. Immediately they told him, he went further away from John the Baptist. Brethren, the ways of God is past what? Finding. It's a mystery. What God does. It's a serious mystery. But known unto the Lord is the work of his hand. He says, my ways are not ways. That's true. If you want to follow God, you must have courage. Because there are things he will tell you to do. Your entire family will think you're stupid. And you have no option but to do what he says. So now Jesus didn't go for 2 days. And then when he finally said verse 8, then the disciples said to him, Rabbi, verse 7. Then after that interval, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. And then the disciples said, sir, there's a problem. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews only recently were intending and trying to stone you. Are you thinking of going back there? Why do you think like this, sir? They nearly snuffed laugh out of you. Well, don't go there again. Then Jesus taught us something here. Jesus answered, are there not how many hours? 12 hours in the day. Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble because he sees by the light of this world. He says, the light of the world, when it's daytime, you go out, you don't stumble. He said, I'm walking by the light of God, by his word. The word is lamp unto my feet and light unto my feet. He said, I'm walking by that light. He said, if you walk in it, you can't stumble, you can't make a mistake. It doesn't matter what is happening. Once the Lord moves, once the Lord shows you the direction, you can't make a mistake. That's what he was teaching them. Then he says, but if anyone walks about in the night, what do you think he's talking about in the night? Human wisdom that has no light in it. He said, if you walk about in the night, then he does stumble because there's no light in him. There's no word of God in it, no divine instruction in it. The light is not there. May the Lord open our eyes in Jesus' name. So as we get into 2017, these are the things we must look at critically. If you know how long the Lord has been dealing with me on this issue, he's been weeks talking to me about doing things my way, pointing to me what we do in this church that is not in it, and telling me how he hinders me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when I started to pastor, one thing the Lord told me, he said, don't be like others. And he told me this on the street. He said, I'm calling you, but please don't be like others. Don't pattern things like this. He said, many people just do church. Don't do that. And then I invited one very, very anointed man of God. Everybody was inviting him and crowds were coming. So immediately I heard that he was preaching somewhere, I went. I said, if he's preaching in that church, he will preach in our church. So I went there. And I burst into his room in the hotel. And he said, who are you? I said, I'm so-so-so. I said, sir, I didn't come here to argument. You are coming to our church. He said, I said, who are you? I said, you are coming to our church. He said, I've never seen this boldness before. Quit church. I told him. And I said, we just started. There were not many, but you are coming. I said, did you read about the man that came from the roof? I said, this one burst through the door. So he said, okay. I said, I've never seen anything like this. I will come to your church. Then he called the secretary and canceled the meeting. He said, I'm coming to this church. Then he gave me conditions to come. First, 11,000. And then he gave me, and I was glad. I was excited. Anointed man. People will fall down. What are you talking about? So I got home. My wife is good to. I told you how I married my wife yesterday, right? Amazing woman. She came to me, said, my husband. Oh, my husband, did God tell you? I said, no, you don't understand. The man is anointed. He said, my husband, hey, did God tell you? I said, my wife, anointing. Anointing. And typical of my wife, she started praying for my foolishness. She does that all the time. When I do these martial things, she doesn't argue with me. She just goes to the Lord and say, that's your pastor, sir. Lord, can you help this man? So we went and hired 3,000 and something seats. We began to advert all over Lagos, pasted everything. Man, he's coming! And then my associate pastor was so excited too. So he gave 50,000 naira immediately. So two of us were in it. He said, my wife, don't tell my wife this story at all. She must not hear. So finally, the day came to the big man to come. The man came in pomp, and he said, I don't ride any car except Mercedes. So we went and found Mercedes. And my wife spent a whole day pressing orange juice, special orange juice, with three hands, because where she came from, they don't have juicers. Hand. And then the day came for the anointed man to come. I was excited. I dressed up, waiting for this man. How to work? I was dreaming. How to work on him. Sir, you're welcome. No, so that's not good enough. You know, so when he now came, brethren, listen to this. All the chairs were empty. Nobody came. You know how many people came? The same number we had in church. Nothing. I'm not kidding you. For the whole 3 days, awful. All the chairs we borrowed were empty. Nobody sat on. Not one extra person stepped into that company. In fact, the last night he came so late, I preached, and people were more blessed. Because by the time he came, it was almost midnight. So when he left, my wife called me and said, I told you. And the Lord asked me one question. Who told you to do that? Said, you know that man. so that one day, don't be like what? He said, those empty chairs, fill them now. Fill them. He said, do you know where everywhere he goes, people go? He said, do you know why nobody came here? He said, because I called you and you've been honoring me and you were foolish. I knew you were foolish. He said, don't you notice anywhere he goes, crowd goes. He said, why didn't they come here now? Why? He said, because I'm building this thing. And your wife stood on her knees. And I said, nobody's come here. This is the natural crowd puller. I'm not kidding you. You don't even have to advertise it. Once you mention his name, Lagosians will go. Nobody came. Except the Lord. And then when we gave him the money we gave him, he said, it's only that. I said, we gave you everything, sir. Gave you everything. Gave you everything. Can we learn from these things? Don't do things that can be easily uprooted. Jesus said, every tree not planted by my Father will be what? Uprooted. Well, don't do stuff like that. It's foolishness. Don't engage in things that after many years you come to crisis and realize you come to the end. The thing has led you to a dead end. Don't ruin your life. Just do stuff like that. Be patient until you hear from him. Then you go with him. Then you are sure. Because if he opens a door, no man can close it. Praise the Lord. So the second thing before we pray is that the Holy Spirit came to reveal to us the works of God that he accomplished in Christ for us. And I want to say that every work that Jesus did on the cross and achieved for us. Can you hear me, please? I want you to listen to this. Every work that Jesus accomplished on the cross for you cannot be duplicated. There is no alternative anywhere. Cannot be done by you, by an angel, by any spirit. Cannot be bought. Let me repeat that. Every work that Jesus accomplished on the cross for us by his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, all of them cannot be duplicated by you or me. They are finished work that will come and work in. There is no alternative way it is done. And you can't buy them. They are freely given. That's why it is the work of grace and mercy. They are so costly, we can't pay for it. Now, again, we have a problem here. Because many in the body of Christ are trying to produce those things. Want to produce righteousness. They want to produce holiness. They want to produce life, which is pure and holy, which only God can give, and which only God can work out. They want to produce it. They want to produce freedom. Somebody tell them, you must stop this. They say, go and try to stop that. Produce freedom. The scripture says, if the Son shall set you free, then you shall be free. Brethren, I'm telling you, a lot of believers have, Lord, I won't say this way. I withdraw that. Let me put it another way. That's my word. Sorry about that. Some believers, praise the Lord. Some believers have humongous character challenge for years. Nobody knows. But Sunday cloth dresses it up. And Pentecostal language covers it. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I just want you to say it. Praise the Lord. God bless you, bros. You know, remember rapturable. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All those things cover it up. Only when you get close to them and live with them for more than 4 weeks, you begin to notice some of those things. Some of them you may not even notice it. Secret stuff going on. And I say, I thought you said you were free. So what's going on here? Is the cross not real? Didn't Jesus achieve freedom for us? I'm not kidding you. A lot. And it's hindering the preaching of the gospel. It's affecting families, affecting children. You know, little foxes spoil what? I don't know how I run my race when I'm stumbling all the time. The Bible says, you see these things that make you stumble, deal with them. There are small, small things that make you stumble. And we're fasting and praying. Some is anger. 10 years in the Lord, and the anger is getting worse. Something is wrong. That's not the life that Christ gave us. What is the freedom Jesus achieved? Because we're trying to achieve the freedom. We don't want it. We try to. You can't produce that work. Forget it. That's why you must enter his rest. You must enter and embrace that work. Believe it, and the Spirit of God will manifest it in your life. That's the way it works. It's humbling. It's very, very humbling to remind yourself that without him, I can do. It disarms you and takes away your pride and your ego. So you come at his feet and lay down your crown right there. And said, except you save, none can save. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Oh, see, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, how about baby Christians? And I said, yes. He said, baby Christians. He said, human babies look like adult babies. They grow in adult behavior. He said, every Christian born again has my nature and shows it. May not be in full, but you see my nature of love. And they say, when you don't see it at all, they're not born again. There's a lot going on in the body of Christ that is hidden. There's a lot of struggle going on. A lot of prayers unanswered. A lot of unexplained stuff going on. The answer is still Jesus. The answer is still who? Jesus Christ. Come back. Stop trying to live this religious life, stressing yourself for nothing. Cease in your labor and get into his rest. Only believe. Doesn't take a lot, because it's accomplished work. You can't do them. You can't duplicate them. Your freedom you can't produce. Your liberty you can't produce. Your healing you can't produce. Your salvation you can't produce. Your righteousness you can't produce. It is only him, and only him alone. And when we come and believe that, when we come and believe that, the Holy Spirit begins to make it manifest. You see freedom power without effort. You see really, really, truly, you will see truly that Jesus provided freedom. All those things, pornography and things, will not appeal to you no more. Christianity is not character management. Christianity is an entirely new life. It's an entirely new life. It's not, I'm better. No, the Bible said the thing should die. Doesn't appeal to you no more. It's not even a temptation no more. Because your nature has changed. I told you that sin appeals to the flesh, but righteousness appeals to your spirit. Your spirit does not respond to those things. If you live by it, you put to death all of those things. You don't put to death by effort. No. No. He already did it for you. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
All you need to do is to come walk in them. I don't have time to give you scriptures. The Bible says, reckon ye, believe you, that the power of sin has been broken over you. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, it's broken, it's broken, it's broken. And the Spirit of God will start working it out in your life. Before soon, you find truly that it is broken. Because only those who believe see the glory of God. Isaiah said, who shall believe our what? Report. And then the arm of the Lord, on whom shall it now be what? The power of the Spirit that comes to make manifest all the work of the cross in our lives. It's revealed only when we believe and say yes. But when you don't believe, Mark, can we read Mark 6:5? And then I'll talk about healing. Mark 6:5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. He couldn't do mighty work. Why? And he marveled because of the unbelief. If he couldn't do mighty work, he can't do mighty work in your life if you are not prepared to believe the truth of the gospel. If you are not prepared, he cannot do those mighty work. And then you'll be struggling, fasting, doing all that kind of stuff. I don't know how you fast for what already is accomplished for you. It's already accomplished. The Bible says you've been created into righteousness and holiness, and this works is prepared, so you come and walk in them. Just simply come and walk in them. Simple. You don't fast for it, you can't produce it. You can't reproduce it. You can't duplicate it. It's there already. And healing is one of them. Do you know when Jesus came, he was healing everybody. Everybody who believed. Everybody. If you read Matthew chapter 8, I call it the chapter of healing. The Lord of healing there. Matthew chapter 8, a leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me what? And Jesus said, I will. That's my will for you to be clean. Can I talk to everybody who is sick here? It's the same word Jesus is saying today. I will. I what? I will. So whether he will is no more a question. Because he said, I will. And it's no respecter of persons. He said, I will. And then the Bible says that Jesus went about doing. Okay, Lord, I want us to read them. Okay. So we read them. We read them. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we say read those scriptures. Matthew 8. Let's start from Matthew 8, 14 to 17. Matthew 8, 14 to 17. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served him. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with a word, one word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He said this scripture was fulfilled, that Jesus came to bring healing. He healed all. He said, this is why I came. Isaiah said so. It's fulfilled here. He healed all. All. Everybody. To fulfill what Isaiah said, he was coming to take away our sicknesses and take away our infirmities. In that same Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1 to 4, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. If Jesus said that to the leper, he's saying that to us now. Amen. I am willing, be healed. Amen? Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There's no doubt that healing is the ministry that Jesus handed over to the church. There's no doubt that that's part of what he wants the church to do. He said to us, preach the gospel, heal the sick. And even now, he's here to heal. I say he's here to heal. But remember, in Mark chapter 6, they didn't believe him. They looked down on him. And he couldn't heal them. He couldn't heal them. His word was not sufficient. They expected something dramatic. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, there was a man who said to Jesus, speak the word. He said, that's enough. And Jesus said, that was great faith. Anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus can heal will not get his healing. And anybody, he asked somebody, say, do you believe I can do this? Do you really believe I can do that? So he's here to heal, but we must believe that, number one, he's willing. Number two, he's here to heal and he's able to heal. And we heal you now. We heal you now. We heal you when?
Now.
Only five people said now. We heal you when?
Now.
We heal you when?
Now.
We heal you when?
Now.
You know, many of you were here now. What miracle will I say I'm not seeing here? Is it the little boy that they say had the sickle cell? Is it not? Who knows? You know his name? What's his name? The little girl. Not the one of yesterday. The one before yesterday. They brought him here. It's your grandson. Am I telling lies here? Are you not witnesses? They said he has sickle cell. Is it sickle cell? Eh? Sickle cell. And right here. I said we should rise up and we'll ask the Lord to change that thing. That's a creative miracle. And the Lord changed it. You had the mother, the grandmother. They went back to the doctor. They said, well, this is amazing. The sickle cell is gone. He now has AA. A, is it AA? Well, I don't know. But if I wanted that now, I should have studied it. I didn't study that. But the sickle cell was gone. It was free now. It's a different blood type, everything. Why? Jesus heals all the time. Jesus heals what? And yesterday they brought another one. And Jesus again healed. He said, I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. I called pastor. I said, the Lord told me to tell you to praise him. I didn't even know the Lord had told him to make him to worship him at the hospital bed. You see how the Spirit of God works? I didn't know. He didn't tell me. And I called him. I said, the Lord is talking. I said, judge you to whether the Lord wants you to do. But since he's telling me to tell you to praise him, to worship him. I didn't know that in Florida, the Spirit of God has tied him to worship. And here I was telling him, he wants you to worship. Which means continue that praise you started where? In Florida. And if you know the pastor, he is so different from when he came back. His face has come back. Everything has come back. And he's now eating jambalaya very well. You know what jambalaya is? Jambalaya is rice and shrimp. It's very popular in Louisiana. Yeah, pastor loves it. In heaven, he will eat it. If you knew when he came back, he was weak. He wasn't looking like this. But now his body has come back. But I'm telling you, brethren, when I spoke the other one, I said, Lord, no, let me withdraw that. That's not me. But this one I'm telling you is him. He is willing. He is willing. He is willing. As many as can receive it, let them receive. That is healing for you. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. I've said it over and over and over. God is always supernatural, but not always dramatic. We miss it. when we quit God with everything must be dramatic. I must fall down, chairs must shake. It's not true. It's not true. Most, if I have time and bring Pastor Sinade up, who share with you people what God has done for him. None of them dramatic. I stood, as I know you and your wife, you heard. I stood with a couple and they were talking to me. They said, Pastor, before we came to your church, we were about to divorce. He said, we were about to divorce. He said, we're ready to separate. He said, now we're closer than nothingness. And I was listening to them. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. It was not dramatic at all. But the result was sin. And they're very educated people. Very big profession. They said, before we stayed in here, I said, Pastor, we're ready to. He said to the wife, he said, we're ready to go. He said, yeah. He said, but the word of God began to change us. Change us. And now we can't have enough of one another. Did they fall down? No. But God was working. God is going to heal you now.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be dramatic. Only believe. Only what?
Believe.
Shall we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.